2nd, 2016. You're looking live at New York, New York. This is episode 561 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am Will Leach, and I think you're spending part of your day with me. I apologize to all of you for two things. Number one, we've not actually done a podcast in a couple of weeks, and that's been because my schedule and Alice's schedule have been running around like crazy. The second is, or we perhaps don't have the quality of audio today as I've hopefully you've become accustomed, because I don't have my microphone with me, but that's the bad news. The good news is I'm literally sitting right next to, right now, Allison Footer, national correspondent for MLB.com, and of course my co-host here on the Footer Unleashed podcast. It is nice to see you in the flesh. How's it going?
It's very nice to see you. I feel underdressed, but it's okay because nobody can see us. But for all of you out there, Will is wearing a tie and I am wearing blue jeans.
Yes, well, we are here in New York at in Chelsea Market to do the MLB Now. So MLB Plus.
MLB Plus,
which is the companion thing that they're doing to National Network games. I'll be doing some of these. I'm assuming you're not hearing this till Monday, so hopefully neither Allison nor I did something career-ending on the MLB Plus show. I'm doing Friday night's Yankees-Red Sox game. You're doing Saturday night's Yankees-Red Sox game. So we're about to go do that, but we wanted to sneak in a podcast while we had the opportunity, and we were in the same room together. So this is our first podcast we've done together, I think, since Kansas City. I think since the World Series in Kansas City.
Oh, right. We were sitting in the lobby of the hotel, very loud hotel. They were reconstructing the parking garage.
Exactly.
So
which is always nice. So, yes. And now we're using contraband conference rooms that apparently we're not supposed to be in. So apparently we live dangerously here. Anyway, so I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to actually be doing the podcast. It has been too long since we did one. So anyway, hello.
Hi.
So I have a couple of questions for you. We're going to get back on a regular schedule after this. So we only have like 15 minutes before the food comes.
Right.
Because I've been running around like crazy and not eaten yet. So nothing I'm saying is going to make a lot of sense. Not that there's anything particularly new about that. So I have a lot of questions for you because I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. First and foremost, two-tiered question. One, what is going on with the Astros, the last place Houston Astros? And two, how does that make you and Nysola? To remind, Allison backwards is not actually an Isola, but I at one point decided that it was, so I keep saying it was. How does that make you feel?
Okay, well, first, what is going on with the Astros? So we're recording this a couple days before we're actually running it, so they could sweep the A's.
They could. They could
and
sweep.
And then they would actually be the Houston Astros who are only like 5 games under 500.
Right. And okay. And your grin would be dissipated slightly.
Yeah, I look at this in two different ways. So, but, you know, regardless of, like, my feelings about how things have gone, and we don't need to reiterate that, over time, I always, whenever I'm evaluating really any team, but especially Astros because I study them so much, is I always assume that the front office knows way more about this, what's going on, and the way that the roster is constructed, the way the organization is constructed than I do. And I am not I'm not keeping up with the minor league system as much as I did when I was covering them, because of course it's not my job anymore to keep up with the minor league system. So I was asking some people, like, tell me about the pitching that is down in the high levels of the minor leagues. What do they have coming up? And I got like a few names. And the reason I was asking is because in the last year and a half, they have traded away, I want to say around 10 pitching prospects. Not everyone's going to work out. But I'm looking, so I'm looking at the season coming up, and I'm looking at the way that the rotation is supposed to be, and I'm like, okay, they signed Doug Fister, it was necessary, it was smart, it was good, oh, yay, Astros, you know, you got him for a bargain, and he's probably going to be really good again, but that's, like, not quite enough, so I'm looking, I'm like, okay, Keuchel, like, is he going to have another Cy Young season, and maybe he'll take a couple steps back and still just be a very good pitcher, Colin McHugh. And then Lance McCullers, okay, he starts the season on the DL. And then I'm like, okay, Scott Feldman. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, well, I think they're going to win the division, because, like, why not? I mean, the division isn't very good, but I'm looking at this rotation, I'm like, okay, there's something else, there's something that I don't know. There's some guy that's going to be coming up. There's some trade that they're going to make. There's some acquisition. And so, in my opinion, like, it's way too early to decide how they're going to do and why it is that they're going to do that. But if they're going to not win this division because of all their pitching reinforcements are with other organizations, then I'm not sure, you know, really what to think of that. Because in all the experience and all of the time, all of the years that I covered them, and I really wanted to understand how organizations are constructed and how they're maintained and how they maintain success, over sustained success. And the thing is that you have to have more pitching than you think you know what to do with, and then you get more on top of that. And it's such a big part of it. In this past year, I'm like, they're operating as if they've got like Maddox, Glavin, and Oswald like at the top of their rotation for the next 5 years. And so what's happening is, you know, they might be a little shell-shocked offensively because they're not able to do – Ken Giles has not been
– Right. That Velasquez trade looks pretty rough right now. It's only a month.
Yeah, it's only a month. You have to give it a lot more time. But, like, he lost his closer's job before spring training was even over.
Which
so
was
like a
weird.
Huge red flag.
Yeah. Well, it was weird, too, because, like, you know, it almost looked – there's a theory out there that said the reason they were doing that was because the Astros, you know, they're always a little too clever by half. And the idea was they would put him in the eighth inning because they actually thought he was the better reliever. But the eighth inning is just as important as the ninth, and it would keep him cheaper come arbitration because he would have fewer saves. And which is to me like first off maybe that's a little clever, but it more to the point it makes them look like you're worried about this. Like you have like just traded away all your power arms,
right? I mean that's the thing. It's like now they're going to they're worrying about the bottom line. They acquired Ken Giles to be the closer of Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing
I mean, they traded away an awesome pitcher to do it.
They traded away five players to get this deal done.
Right.
And there's no way that they had in mind anything but being a closer.
Right.
And so, so the whole thing is a little baffling, but I could not have expected. I mean, when they were at 10.5 and 16 last week, and I was like, you know, another week of this, and now you're talking about sort of an inability to get over the hump, to climb out of it and become contenders because – their pitching staff, their starting staff isn't very good. So when you look at the Rangers, who are going to acquire Yu Darvish midseason, which is how you have to look at it, and I'm like, nobody scares me in the AL West, but certainly, I mean, the Astros are just, they're not this bad.
Yeah.
But
and they're hitting the ball, like that's the thing, is they actually, Rasmus is hitting the ball great, Altuve's hitting the ball, like they're actually, their hitters are, a couple guys are down, but generally speaking, they're scoring runs. But like the problem with this, and this is my general thing about the Astros, is when they went through the whole thing, where they went through the whole that you know so well of their, we're changing everything, we're going to be terrible for a few years. The whole idea of that is, look, we're building something sustainable.
Right.
The idea that we're building something that's just going to be, like, sure, yeah, we know it's bad now, but give it some time. And last year was supposed to be the start of that. But now, all of a sudden, like, you're already in the hole. Like, these games count. Like,
right.
I know it's early, but you're already in the hole. The Rangers are, you're right, are clearly kind of built. The A's look a little better than we thought.
Yeah.
The Mariners look better than we thought.
Much better.
And so
they have a good rotation.
Yeah, and so all of a sudden, the Astros are in a position where the bill of goods that we were kind of all sold, which is this is going to be a sustainably competing team for a while. So once we get through this and we turn the corner, like, say, the Cubs have, where they went through maybe not as protracted as the Astros did, but clearly went through the same, we're going to suck for a while, but don't worry, we're building something great and you're going to see it. The Cubs have succeeded in that.
Right.
The Astros, you start to worry, if they don't make the playoffs this year and maybe are, like, they went through a lot of stuff for not much of a sustained run at all.
Okay, well, my question is, like, now that I look back, I mean, when they didn't do anything to really improve their rotation.
Yeah.
So,
but they're also not spending money. The Cubs are spending money.
They didn't spend money.
And the Astros are not spending money.
And that was, like, a very glaring thing. I'm like, okay, they're not doing anything this winter. And then they made the Ken Giles trade. They didn't spend money on that. I'm not in favor of just, like, throwing, you know, huge dollars at a veteran pitcher. But I'm like, you got rid of all of these guys that are coming up.
The Cubs have shown you can spend money wisely and sustain. Like, to me, that is the – because, you know, we have connected the Cubs and the Astros in ways because they both went through this. We don't use the word taking. I don't think taking is allowed.
I use the word taking.
I know. I was joking.
Taking.
Taking. But because they went through that stretch, as the two teams did.
Right.
But – and the I think the Astros have gotten a little bit more credit because they made the playoffs last year, because they got off such a good start that it felt like, oh, it's paying off. And the Cubs, you can clearly see it paying off. The worry with the Astros now is, like, again, it's a bad start, but I don't see that pitching getting a lot better anytime.
I don't see it getting better, and I see it kind of getting worse because, Scott Feldman's already been booted from from the rotation. Mike Fiers is a perfectly serviceable starter, but you can't.
He's like his other number two guy now.
Right. I mean, you can't put this all on the shoulders. And, like, Dallas Keuchel, I mean, people are, like, starting to whisper. You know, not a whisper. I mean, the national writers, oh, he's lost a couple miles an hour in his fastball.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? And they've left themselves no room for injury, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot get injured. And so I find the whole thing like really curious. And if you're trying to build a team by like overcompensating offensively to mask some of the deficiencies of your pitching, you're going to lose 90 games. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You cannot do that.
It's
going
to be a mess, man. Because I like it, when you think of, and particularly, you know, you, again, I don't want you to say anything you don't want to say, but you know, I do think that you in particular know that there is around baseball considered, sorry, my chair just...
You're shrieking.
I'm shrieking. I just hit the button of my chair and fell down. You know that around baseball, there is a perception that there is a certain arrogance in that organization. That's a fair assessment. You know of that perception.
Really?
You know of that perception. So I do think that there is a sense that if the Astros don't make the playoffs this year, or they continue playing like this, I don't know if people will be shedding a lot of tears for them.
No.
I don't know that way.
No, I don't think anyone's going to be shedding any tears for them. But, I mean, you know, that's the – I mean, they did back off from that a lot. I know there was sort of
there's
like –
there's been some moves.
But in the middle of the season, there was a noticeable, like, we're going to stop talking about all the great things we're going to do because we're so great. And so there was definitely, like, backing off of that. But, I mean, when you look at it – so, okay, so we're only a month into the season. So I get it. It's still early.
Right.
But now you're looking at, like, they are several games under 500 since last –
right, that's the thing.
Like
in the last
really
100 games,
they've
been terrible.
Yeah,
right.
They have.
Right.
So, you know, you got to kind of like, I don't know, I kind of like the Mariners.
I kind of like the Mariners, too.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little excited about the Mariners.
I can't wait until you are proven so wrong with your prediction that the White Sox are going to win the division. How stupid do you look, Will?
I don't know. They're in first place, pal. So take that. Yeah, and to me,
I look at the record, I'm like, are you kidding me?
For them to be able to overcome the loss of their leader, Drake LaRoche, I think, is all the more heroic of what the White Sox, making me look good so far.
If they win the World Series, can you imagine what Adam LaRoche is going to be feeling like? Like, it's going to be the worst feeling
it will be almost,
in his life.
Yeah, it will almost feel like what the Cubs will feel like if the White Sox win the World
Series.
That's true. That would be like the, like, this is the year, the Cubs year, and then the White Sox.
I was in Chicago, we were talking about a Cubs and White Sox World Series, and all I could think of was one hotel for a week and a half.
Well, it's funny.
Bring it.
I wrote a piece for Sportsnet at the beginning of the year about noting that there are seven cities that could potentially have a World Series game and an NFL game at that exact same night. There's a game on. There's a Monday night game in Soldier Field that I think would be Game 5 of the World Series this year. Which is five or six. But the idea that the Cubs and White Sox could be playing in the World Series. That the night that there's going to be nobody at Soldier Field, or that entire city is just going to be.
Or they'll just like, have like the baseball games going on, like the monitors
at the
football game.
So the other thing we probably need to talk about before we go eat, because I'm so hungry, is D. Gordon, obviously. D. Gordon, the story broke on, it didn't really break so much as it came out right after the game. He told his teammates after getting a hit and helping them win, that the highest point the Marlins, if they've won like five in a row, he's been playing great, that in the last couple of days, that he had tested positive for what appears to not be ADD, appears to be an actual, I can never say it, the Stanzol, whatever it is.
Yeah, there's synthetic testosterone that was found in his body.
Right. I'm not someone that, you and I have had discussions about PEDs, and we're about to have another one, but you know, my stance is clear on this. I tend to not get as emotionally upset about it or feel like there's any sort of moral failing as much as it's just a shame.
Yeah.
But to me, I think the reaction to Gordon has been particularly fascinating because, you know, and I think hopefully will be instructive for us because as I wrote my piece for Sports on Earth this morning, everything that we are stereotype of what a PED user is, they're big, they're hulking. They're using it for power or strength. They're using it to overcome some injury. They're jerks. Like, you know, there is this sense. And D. Gordon, you know, yesterday, D. Gordon was this awesome face of baseball, a legacy player,
the son
of Tom Gordon. Everybody loves D. Gordon. He's smiling. He has this great charity. Like, not only lots of players do charity work, but he has a very specific, very personal charity that he does because his mother was killed by domestic violence. And so he has this once a month, he brings a kid who's lost a parent to domestic violence to the stadium. It's something very personal. He is he's an African-American player that I think the game is trying to sell that a little bit more. It's just this awesome thing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden this happens.
Yeah.
And I'm curious. And to me, the argument for that is, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't. It's not so much that like, I forgive D. Gordon. Because it's not that as much as maybe the way that we look at these guys that do this, A, maybe it's a lot more widespread around baseball than we've been that we have made ourselves believe.
Yeah.
And B, that the guys that do this are not necessarily these, I'm going to cheat the game, the way, like, there was this great story about Rafael Palmeiro the other day.
It broke my heart.
And, yeah, and it's funny because, you know, for 5 years, Rafael Palmeiro was public enemy number one. Everybody hated him.
Right.
And now, you know, and I think there's still people that will always feel that way about Rafael Palmeiro. But I think once you take a step back and realize, you know, maybe the people that do this are not, like, these horrible human beings.
Most of them aren't.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But I think that there is perception of that.
Yeah.
I hope that someone like Gordon, and I think we're still in the 24-hour stretch, so everybody still thinks he's a
yeah.
jerk. But I hope when someone like Gordon, you know, I think it shows that, like, this is more probably a lot more common than we think.
Well, that's what I'm starting to think, which is
yeah.
why I was so upset about it. And, yeah, D. Gordon, being all the things that you said, so I won't go on and on about it, but as well-liked, as friendly, as polite, and as congenial of a person as you're ever going to meet. And so the media, everyone's, like, really grumpy about
yeah,
this.
Right, yeah,
because
right.
Because they're like, not D. Gordon, come
yeah.
on. And so now with him and Chris Colabello,
yeah,
and now
yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Another great story. Another
yeah.
great story, yeah.
So now, because I preach this, and I truly believe it, that players that did steroids, the majority of the players that did steroids
yeah.
during the steroid era, did them to stay in the game.
Yeah.
Not the superstars who wanted to become superhuman stars.
Agreed.
Yep. The guys who were throwing 88 and could stay in the big leagues for three more years,
like
throwing 91.
Right.
So, and you're just playing for your livelihood, and that was it. Okay, so now we have this. So here's what's going on. Either it's getting back into the game, and there's ways that you can beat this testing. And
or it was never gone. And
but I think it might be creeping back in,
okay.
and players are feeling either that they can get away with it too, or that they need to start trying to get
right.
away with it. Because for two major leaguers, we get these press releases probably three times a week on minor
right.
leaguers getting paid for steroids,
right, right, right.
and nobody says anything about it, and I delete
right.
them, and everyone deletes them.
right.
Two major league players within a week getting there's something else that's going on here, and so either they're figuring out a way to detect these undetectables that they're
right.
beating the test, and now the testers are figuring out ways that they can't beat them anymore.
Because that was like Victor Conti. Victor Conti was interviewed recently
yes.
saying you're an idiot if you get busted.
Right.
And I don't think that's true either. Because like D. Gordon is not a stupid person.
No,
like I think a lot of this stuff is like
no, but what Victor was saying though is basically you can do this and not ever get caught.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why he was saying they're stupid because they're to get caught is to be stupid. Not
right.
to take the drugs is to be
but,
stupid.
And he lays it out every time, and baseball hates it when he talks.
Yeah,
but
right.
Like, honestly, like, as disgusting and slimy and as pathetic of a
yeah.
human being as he is an expert at this stuff. And
yeah,
he will
we should
tell,
probably
he
listen.
Tells, exactly.
Right, right.
And so I am not going to defend these guys anymore. Because
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I can't put myself out there and say, because I truly believe that the game is mostly clean.
Yeah.
You know, 10% maybe.
Mm.
I mean, it's hard to say, but I believed that most of these guys did not want to do them because you hear these players getting so mad every time someone tests positive for steroids. They get so mad. They're like, oh, my God,
yeah.
stop it already. You know, Justin Verlander. I mean, people are very outspoken about it, and I believe that's the majority of them do not want to take them. I'm starting to back off of that a little bit, and I'm sorry, but you can't tell me why in the world. This is what I want to happen. I want D. Gordon to stop saying that it was unknowing, and I want him to tell us. Exactly.
I think he said he apologized.
I want to know exactly
because
yeah.
Colabello was like, I have no idea how this got in my system.
Is
he
so
is
ridiculous.
Like holding that.
I mean,
and
it's so stupid. It is,
well, you
it
know,
is no.
My defense of that. Here's my defense of that. I agree that I think he's probably full of it. But the argument could be made that really, like, listen, there's a lot of what we would consider performance enhancers that players take. They're just not on this banned list. So I think a cortisone shot, like. That's a performance enhancer. Like, we've decided the cortisone shots are okay, but that's a performance enhancer. There are tons of supplements that these players are taking all the time. Some of them we've decided are okay, and some of them we've decided are not okay. And Gordon is someone that took something that were not okay. Chris Davis, when he was doing with heavy Adderall, he did something that were not okay. I guess the question is, I don't think, like, the idea that D. Gordon is like, I need to get stronger, I need to pop this thing that's going to make me stronger, I think it's more complicated. I think that everybody's taking some sort of supplement. He might have thought, I can get one more in. Or maybe they're all taking supplements. Like, to me, that's the argument is, I almost feel like everybody is taking this stuff, but some people are making mistakes with the testing. Like, not everyone. Everyone is wrong. Everyone
no, no,
is
no.
wrong.
I understand what you're
wrong.
Saying. But I completely
disagree. I think it's much more common. I think it's much more common than we think, and I think, to me, Dee Gordon is frankly proof of that. Not proof is the wrong word, but certainly a good piece of evidence to argue that this is more common than we think, because someone who, and again, you know, Don Mattingly, it's funny, there's this quote going around this morning about they asked the difference between Don Mattingly the difference between the Dodgers, Dee Gordon, and the Marlins, Dee Gordon. Like, what changed?
Now we know.
And you know, he actually said 15 pounds. He actually said 15 pounds.
This is before.
So there's an argument there to be made as well. And, you know, and frankly, he got a contract at that time.
Right.
And
$51 million.
Yes. So, and again, you know, that's something that I kind of feel like is priced in. Like a lot of people are like, he's stealing money from the Marlins. I'm sorry. That's like buyer beware. When you pay a player a bunch of money, you have to be aware of the fact that he may be.
Right.
Like, you may fail a test, and hey, you don't have to pay him for those games anyway. So there you go. I guarantee you they won't. Yeah, and to me, another argument about this is I don't think teams when they sign players are much more worried about them getting caught than them using the drugs.
I truly mean
absolutely. Look at the money that Johnny Peralta or Chris Davis.
Absolutely.
Like again, like that is what's concerning. So
yeah.
I definitely do not. I was on with Chris Russo on High Heat on Friday.
He said
you know for. Well, the Diamondbacks, you know, they need to. They're getting screwed over here. I'm like, no. I'm sure the Marlins.
Oh.
The Marlins are getting screwed over here.
No.
I'm like, no, they're not.
No, they're not.
If they win a World Series with Dee Gordon, I doubt they'll be like they'll give it back. So to me, that I guess that's the thing is I find myself. Everyone seemed to be. It was hard to come up with a player anymore where someone was actively shocked by.
Yeah.
Like, I remember back in the day when everyone was like, is everybody using when A-Rod was when it was a shock that A-Rod was using. I remember Jeter was the one of people always like, if Jeter was using steroids, that would truly shock me.
Right.
And I think Dee Gordon may have been one of the last players that we were shocked by.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, I think Giancarlo Stanton is an awesome dude, and I enjoy watching him play baseball, and it's not like every time I'm watching him, I'm thinking, that guy's doing steroids, because I'm not. That's not what I'm doing, or PEDs. But if it came out tomorrow that Giancarlo Stanton were using PEDs, I would have less shock than with Dee Gordon. But my argument would be, we should probably just stop being shocked by. The only person to me, the only person now I'm going to be shocked by is if like Justin Verlander is doing it,
right?
Because someone has come out and said this is ridiculous. I want this banned. Oh, my last question would be this: every time there's a high profile player that gets busted for this, everyone's like, should we make the punishments harder? Should we make them stronger? Should we make them more powerful and so on? You know, because first it was 10. We forgot that it was 10 games when it first happened, and then it was 25.
Right.
Because when Cameron Maitman got his, it was 25. Then it was, and now it's 80.
It was 50,
it's 50, and now it's 80.
Yeah.
Or unless you're A-Rod, and they'll just sit you out for the entire year because they don't like you.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, it's 80. Is that enough? Do you think 80 and also no playoffs?
Clearly no.
I don't know. I mean, clearly not.
I wouldn't think that the public shame would be enough to deter these guys, and it's not. So
yeah.
I don't know, because they're obviously putting the monetary value, which is what, you know, infuriates me about people in general and this industry. But it's like,
yeah, the teams are doing it too. The teams are happy to sign these.
Right. I mean, Dee Gordon like decided that he was going to take the risk, and he got a $51 million contract,
yeah.
And that somehow is going to bring him comfort in life.
Yeah.
And the shame and the fact that he's going to be ridiculed and booed everywhere, it'll eventually fade away. But like, I thought when this first came out, these really, really tough punishments, I thought the humiliations. Threat alone and the shame will deter these guys from doing it. And I have to stop being such an idiot when it comes to.
Well, you're not an idiot.
Major League Baseball players
and
money, and nothing else matters to anybody except the almighty dollar. And I just have to stop thinking that there's actually humanity among any of these people.
Well, one thing I will say that I found telling was when I read the comments when I went back and went through all the old suspensions. And I'd forgotten, like so many players I've forgotten had gotten busted. Mike Morse. Like, Michael Morris has been suspended for PEDs.
Yeah.
I just totally forgot about that. Like, there's a ton of players like that who got busted. Cameron Maitman. I totally forgot that Cameron Maitman got busted for PEDs. And to me, I think that is telling. The idea that ultimately the shame isn't that lasting. At least maybe it's lasting for someone like Dee Gordon because we had this image of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had this image of him, and now we have a very different. Ryan Braun is someone who clearly there's an odd that like he'll be dealing with that forever.
I watch him now, and I'm like, I don't see an amazing baseball player anymore. Yeah. I, like, see a guy that's probably still figuring out a way to cheat the system.
That, or you're just seeing someone that you're not dazzled by. Even if they're still good, like, there's a little part of, like, the bloom is off the rose. I think Dee Gordon will have this now the rest of his career. I think there's no question. Even if he passes every test the rest of his career, like,
Marion
people are
Jones
always...
passed thousands of tests during her
but this comes back to the original argument of, like, to baseball players, Dee Gordon is a cautionary tale. But not a cautionary tale because he was using PED. I would argue not because he's using PEDs, but because he got caught. But I think most players, like, if you're not Dee Gordon, like, to me, the dumbest part about Dee Gordon doing it is that he's Dee Gordon.
Right.
Like, Dee Gordon is, like, he has a lot more to lose than Michael Morse had to lose if he got busted for PEDs. So to me, that is, I think we have de-incentivized superstars to take. We've totally incentivized middle tier players.
Yeah, I feel sad because I don't think that I can honestly say anymore I believe that the game is relatively clean.
And to be fair, the difference is I never thought so either, but I don't really care as much. Like, we've discussed before.
Look, A-Rod, we've had many conversations about him, but, like, there's, to me, in my mind, there's, and this, not just because of this, I mean, I've always felt this way, there's a 0% chance he's playing this game clean.
Well, zero is low, but...
No, that's how I feel. There's absolutely no chance that he's not doing something that has been guaranteed to not be detected.
Well, the way he's hitting this year, I mean, he's finally not taking anything, and he's like, whatever, I can't, because to me, A-Rod would be the dumbest person to take now.
But my point being, like, I don't even care anymore. Like, when I watch the playlist, like, it doesn't even bother me that, like,
I agree,
he's a zero user.
Come to me, this is what I'm
so
saying.
So maybe after a
people can just let it go and realize, you know what, some people are using, some people aren't.
Right.
I hope my favorite player, I hope someone on my team isn't using, because I need that guy for 80 games.
Exactly.
To me, that is the logical ending place for this. Which, and listen, I have no problem with testing. I have no problem with suspension. I actually have no problem with that. What I actually, and maybe you think it should be more, maybe it should be less, but the thing I actually am excited about is I think it is progress that we know, that people forget that people got busted for PEDs. They'll never forget Dee Gordon. And I don't want, like, I would love to have PEDs not in the game. Everybody, I would love to have that. But what matters to me is if I'm watching the game and I really deep down don't care because I enjoy watching the game, I feel like that is, as long as MLB is doing the best it can, I think it is doing the best it can.
Absolutely.
The best it can to get PEDs as much out of the game as possible. If they're doing that, some people fall through the cracks and some people get busted, I'd say I'm not that upset by that. Some people are going to get busted. Some people aren't. Some people are using them we'll never find out about.
Whatever.
I can live with it. I can honestly live with it.
I just, when I saw that press release come out, I said, wow.
Yeah.
Like, how stupid do you have to be?
He's the last guy. I think he's the last one that can really shock us.
No.
Like,
when it's a Dee Gordon, that press release said Dee Gordon suspended. I was like, did he, like, spit in an umpire?
I thought it was for some conduct during the game.
But, like, there's no way he got suspended for steroids.
It is.
And it came out at, like, 1:15.
I was long asleep when I woke up. All right, well, Alice, I've enjoyed doing this with you in person. We have to do this again, maybe at the All-Star Game. We'll do it at the All-Star Game. You'll be at the All-Star Game this year in San Diego?
I certainly hope so. This would be the wrong one.
This would be the wrong one to miss, without question. So I'm sure, and maybe we'll do another one of these MLB Plus things. We'll have an opportunity to do it again.
Okay,
then I will have
back.
Then I will have my microphone with me. So everyone, thank you. As always, follow Allison Footer on Twitter, AlysonFooter. This is the Willis Experience Podcast. I did the thing with the chair again. But this is the Willis Experience Podcast, Footer and Leech Edition. Music is for the Sun Dogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. This will be probably our only podcast this week, but we'll be back on a regular schedule. I'm excited to get back knowing you on a weekly basis again.
Whee! All right, let's get
out of this band conference room before we get shot.
Yes.
All right. Have a wonderful week, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.